I'd like to thank the church first for allowing me to come this way and do what God has for me to do. It's kind of ironic, the song selection. In the first verse it says, "They seek after honor and fame." That's pretty much what I'm going to be preaching on today, about seeking God. And when God first gave me what I was supposed to preach on, I thought it was supposed to be for the lost, because when I first got this appointment, we had just gotten out of revival, and I really had the lost on my heart that they're not seeking God. We had several in our revival that clearly showed by their expressions that they were lost, but they just wouldn't seek God. And so I had that on my heart. But then as my appointments got moved back and back, as I kept studying, it eventually changed. And in that song, it said that people will seek after the worldly things, their treasures of gold. And people nowadays, they have their idols that they have. People basically worship things like football and golf and fishing, and they do all these things that they put before God. They don't really think about it like that. They don't think that, oh, I'm going to worship football. But they make the decision to stay home and watch the game, or go to the Titans Stadium instead of coming to the house of God and doing what He has for them to do. And I had several thoughts that came to my mind immediately when God said, preach on seeking the Lord. And just a couple of these were, you're supposed to seek God with all your heart and all your soul. And those that seek Him early, it says that they shall find Him. And seek the things which are above. So we're supposed to seek the heavenly things. And it says that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And that's the one that I really had on my heart for those that were lost. Because if they don't seek God, then they're never going to have the chance to be saved. They might think that they're seeking God by saying a little prayer before bed, but they truly have to seek Him with all their heart. They have to want God more than they want their next breath. And so that's just a little background. The main text is going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, this is a letter to the captives from Jerusalem, who were captive in Babylon. So in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 15, it says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem." So all these people were taken to Babylon from Jerusalem. And it says, "By the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." So this next part is going to be talking about directly what Jeremiah is telling these captives that they should be doing in Babylon while they're held captive there. In verse 5 it says, "Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and seek the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished." So these people, they're not supposed to just shut down and quit living. They're supposed to move on and stay strong, even though they're held captive in Babylon. In verse 7 it says, "And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace." A lot in the news today, we hear about people, news reporters or something like that, being held captive in like Iran and things like that overseas. And we see it on the TV, we think, oh, what a shame, and we change the channel. But that could happen to any of us today. And it says here, if I got captured by somebody in Iran or something, I would probably be like, I don't want anything good to happen to you. But here it says that we're supposed to seek the peace of the city. So we're supposed to desire good for all people in this world, no matter who it is, no matter what they believe, no matter how much, if they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, like some of the extremist Muslims want, we should still desire to see their souls saved. No matter if they're teaching false doctrine, they might not know better. So we should desire to seek their peace and to have good communications with them and to be able to work with them and spread the truth that we have here today. And in verse 8 it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to you dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." So they're in Babylon, they have these false prophets who are teaching falsely unto them. And God says that you're supposed to cling close to Him and always seek God for the truth. Like right now, you should be following along with me just to be sure that I'm telling you the right thing, because I could misinterpret it. So if there's anything that a preacher does wrong, that they might misspoke, even if they meant to say the right thing, you're still supposed to follow along with them and let them know if they're teaching false doctrine, because that's what God tells us to do, is to not listen to the false prophets of this world. And there are so many denominations now, you get wrapped up all in that, but if we would just not focus on the fact that they might be teaching the wrong doctrine, and to try to build communication with them and to teach them the right things that we know, because we have the true plan of salvation here. We know that it's not by any words that we can say, but it's through faith and believing that Jesus died for our sins. And just like these people that were held captive there, they needed to be reminded of that. That there are these false prophets out there in the world, but Jesus will always be with us, no matter what we're going through and no matter what happens. In verse 10 it says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works toward you in causing you to return to this place." So they're supposed to be held captives in Babylon for 70 years. That's almost an entire lifetime. So even though that they might be held captive there, God was still telling them that they had a job to do and that they had a purpose in everything. So when you have a purpose, you're not supposed to shut down, but you're supposed to look forward and you're supposed to focus on what God has for you to do in everyday life. It's not just here on Sunday morning, but there's an entire world out there that we're supposed to be reaching out to. In verse 11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall reach for me with all your heart." So clearly it says there that you will find God if you truly seek Him with all your heart. And you're supposed to seek Him early. That's in Proverbs 8 and 17. So if we have a problem that arises in our life, you shouldn't try to figure it out yourself. It says seek God early. Seek Him for the things that He would have us to do early. And it says right there in verse 13, seek Him and you will find Him. and he'll let us know everything that we're supposed to be doing in this life. In verse 14, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will return away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring ye again unto the place whence I caused ye to be carried away captive, because ye have said, The Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon." So these people were held captive here for 70 years, but God gave them this promise that he would set them free after those years. And that's just like us here today. We're free, so we should not take that for granted. And we should serve God just like they used to serve him, with all their heart, so many devotions. Nowadays, we just go about our regular routines without giving God the thanks that we're supposed to. And if we are held captive one day, there's so much unrest in this world here today that it could happen. We could lose our freedom. But even if that happens, since we have God, we're still free. Just because our government gives us freedom, that doesn't mean that we should turn away from God and seek our own pleasures. Because we have a job here on this earth to do, and that's to spread the gospel to all nations. And that's our job, that we should focus on that and not focus on the things of this world, like football and baseball and golf and tennis and all that other garbage. We should focus on God for everything that we need. And it says that we should even seek God for our substance. Because back in the old days, they couldn't go to Kroger and stock up on food. They had to work the earth, and they had to ask God to bless the earth and give them rain for the things that they have. And nowadays, there's so much famine and drought, we might end up being brought back to that humble position of having to ask God for rain to grow our corn and to grow all our crops. And next, if you'll turn over just a couple of chapters to, or not chapters, books, to Zephaniah chapter 2. And in Zephaniah chapter 2, it's talking about the call to repentance. And back in the old days, we always hear about how so many people were on the altars. And it could be that way again today. If we would truly, as Christians, seek God. Not just in our hearts, but we need to seek God in front of everybody to let them know that we do desire the things that God has for us to do. And not just private devotions. We're supposed to give devotions in front of everybody. Because the lost world, they don't know how you're supposed to seek God. We have the truth and the wisdom in our heart. We have that wisdom because God gave it to us. But the lost, they don't understand it. So if they see us physically seeking God, then they'll understand a little bit more about how they're supposed to go about seeking God with all their heart. I remember when I was lost, you'd hear the preachers preach about hellfire and brimstone and talking about seeking God with all your heart. And all you have to do is pray. But I remember, you don't know how to pray when you're lost because you've never truly gotten through to the Lord. So if we would show them step by step how they're supposed to be humble, and that's all this altar represents, is we're supposed to make an altar before God and seek Him humbly with all our heart, then this lost world would be able to understand more, and we would have more being saved in our revivals. And if you've turned with me to Zephaniah chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come unto you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, and it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." So in Revelations, we're promised that God's anger is going to be finally brought to this earth once again in the final days by fire. And if we seek God's righteousness and his meekness, and we're truly living like we're supposed to be, then he's going to hide us from his anger and from his wrath, because it says it right here. So if there's no other reason that we should be seeking God just because that's our duty as saved Christians, Here's another reward that we'll get. We'll be hid from his anger. Doesn't God's anger scare you? I mean, we see it in Mother Nature and storms, great hurricanes and tornadoes. Lightning storms are beautiful now to me instead of scaring me when I was lost. And all that power that he has grace unto us. And he allows us one more day. He allows us freedom to live in this nation, to praise him and to worship him like we're allowed to. So we shouldn't take that things for granted. And we should truly, as Christians, seek God for everything that we need and everything that we want. Because he will provide for us as Christians. We never go without. And when we do go without, we still have the things that we need. So take everything that happens in your life that has a purpose in it. Nothing is just by coincidence. God works in mysterious ways. So just take everything in your life that God throws in your way as an opportunity to share the gospel or to grow from it. Because that's what God desires for us to do. He desires us to grow in his word and to gain in wisdom and knowledge and to be able to just spread the gospel to this whole world. So let's go up from here as Christians and let's be uplifted and let's truly seek God for everything that we need. This is our message. Dylan.
Enjoyed this good message. I hope we all take it to heart. I think a lot of times we look at the person that delivers the message, and we look at the preacher and who it is, but it's the message. We take that message and we go out and we apply it to our lives. We allow it to impact us. We allow it to have its effects. And a lot of times I know that we don't, that we take it and we just let it go. Let's make sure we grab onto that message because it was a great one. And we take it out to our lives and we apply it daily. Is there a thought or word upon anybody's heart? Anything at all?
Anyone else will we have this answer? Number 51. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest nights will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no fear.
ask y'all to remember me and Brother Justin. We start school tomorrow in Brandon. And, you know, we keep our hearts where they need to be. We stay focused and study, but with all the things that go around up there, that we would keep our hearts upon the things of the Lord. I think it's good that we kind of have each other to lean on, a good support system. I ask y'all to keep praying for us. Anything before we dismiss?
I think I should discuss with everybody that we'll just dismiss services tomorrow. That's all right with everybody.
Anybody object to that? If not, services are dismissed tonight. Anything else before we dismiss?
I'm not saying we're proud to have you all preach for us.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anything else? If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed.